Hello there, and welcome to our Charity Digital podcast. I'm Sasha and work in the marketing team here. Today's episode will actually be a recording from one of our most recent webinars earlier on this year called Social Media for Charities 101. Why? Well, it was one of our most highly rated webinars and hundreds of people signed up, so we figured that maybe we were doing something right. It did strike us all as quite an interesting turn of events, considering so many of us use social media for our personal lives, but are still trying to figure out some of the best ways we can use it to grow our charity's online audience. Fortunately, we have our own social media guru in the Charity Digital team, Nick Wyatt, who led this webinar and who we hope you'll enjoy listening to today. Just a heads up, since this was a webinar, there may be some references to visual prompts. If you want to watch the recording with the visuals and also the Q&A between myself and Nick, just head over to the Charity Digital site. But for now, sit back, relax, and let's talk social media.
As Sasha said, I am Nick Wyatt. Yes, I'm the Growth Marketing Executive here at Charity Digital. I've been working here for about a year and a half now, and I've been working with sort of growth marketing for about 3.5 years, but social media marketing for 4 to 5 and throughout my university degree. So I've been in this field for quite a long time, and I've learned a lot about it and seen it change and grow over the very extensive period of time. So hopefully today we can sort of go through social media, get people started, and hopefully for those who are already on the social media journey, they can pick up some new things along the way. So let's start from the top, and the top thing being that why should charities use social media? This is kind of a question I get asked in not just the charity sector, but all sectors. I know that my dad for a long time had no presence on anything for his business, and he thought that there was no point to it because he wouldn't be able to see results from it. And that has been proven wrong by myself multiple times now, which is pretty good. But let's look at it this way. Social media effectively gives you a free avenue to build communities with donors and supporters online and direct access to them. I mean, if you look at that stat there, 4.5 billion global monthly users, that's more than half the world's population are using social media regularly. On top of that, if you're looking at social media as a place to fundraise, £1.6 billion was raised on just Facebook alone in 2019 using their tools. And as I mentioned, yeah, it's a free avenue, essentially, just to talk to people, communicate with people, and achieve your goals that you're looking for. And it can't be ignored in the modern era. So if you're really putting it off, don't. Let's dive in. Let's start that journey. Right. I want to start on the top level of basically creating a social strategy. And then from there, we'll sort of piece together the different parts about platforms, audiences and such, because I want you to start thinking about different things that we're going to be looking at across this webinar from the top level. And then we sort of fill in the blanks, if that makes sense. So let's look at this way. When you're making a social media strategy, you want to beforehand understand exactly what you want to achieve on those social media platforms. That's the first thing you need to do. Then obviously you need to find your own audience and then create a plan with them in mind. How are you going to find them? What kind of tone and voice you need to contact with them, to speak to them? What kind of voice they will need on those social media platforms? As I mentioned, yeah, you need to map out the platforms you're going to use. You also need to work out exactly what kind of content you're going to use. We'll go through each one of these in a little bit more detail. This is just top level, but yeah, then you have to make sure all that content matches your audience's interests. And then also key things, you need to find your followers, engage with them and retain them. And then right back to the bottom, to the top, will all doing all of this help you achieve your goal? So let's start with the platforms, your audiences and your content. Because I think the first thing you're going to want to do is look at all the platforms, work out where you want to go. Because if you spread yourself a little bit too thinly across everything, you might not achieve the goals you want. You might not have the time and resources to go where you need to be. So let's just break down the different key platforms and see where your audience might be and their pros and cons. So I've started with these three purely because I think these are three excellent places to start. Obviously, Facebook being the biggest of all three with 44 million UK users at the moment. That's the most of any of these social media platforms. The gender split is relatively in the middle. So if you think it kind of doesn't matter with Facebook, I find that basically everyone's on Facebook, so the demographics don't matter as much, but that is also one of its key strengths, is that because everyone's there, you'll be able to reach mostly everybody there. Its biggest age demographic being the 25 to 34 year olds. So if that's one of your key demographics, Facebook might be one of the key ones to go for. Now, the key strength of Facebook, and you'll get this with all the platforms really, is that their key strengths are also sometimes their key weaknesses. But starting with the strengths, Facebook supports basically all kinds of media. You can write blogs on Facebook. You can do stories on Facebook. You can do videos on Facebook. Facebook, and you could put, basically you could do anything you want with the platform. It's really yours to tinker with, and you're allowed to use any kinds of media that you like. As I mentioned before, basically everyone's on Facebook, so it has probably the largest audience out of all the platforms. And on top of that, if you're looking to do things like fundraise or advertise, Facebook is probably the best social media platform for this. It's got really in-depth advertising tools, which are quite easy to kick off with. And also there's some really great fundraising tools that you can use along the way. Now, the cons, the strength is also its weakness here, because everybody's on Facebook, the algorithms are so tough. It's almost becoming a pay-to-win platform, with everyone's newsfeed getting so busy with everything. It's so hard sometimes to cut through the noise. And that means that everyone's newsfeeds are super oversaturated. So though you might have a wide range of media that you can use on the platform, those pieces of content need to be so good to stand out, because there's so much going on here. Another point definitely worth mentioning is the ethical use of Facebook. Facebook has done a lot of things that people do not quite agree with. Their stances on hate and other things are not brilliant. So if that doesn't really match with the ethics of your charity, you might want to give Facebook a mix. It might be the biggest, but if you don't want to go there and you don't want to spend your resources there, don't do it. Twitter's one that I've been using so much more since I've got here at Charity Digital. I really enjoy using it. It's got 60 million UK users, a slightly more on the male side split. And this is one of the things I really found interesting, that 63% of their audience is over the age of 35. Now, if that matches with your audience, this might be the place for you. Now, what makes Twitter so good is that you can make really quick, easy content and put it out easily. It's a perfect platform for joining discussions, engaging with others, because everything's so connected, hashtags and threads. You just can join lots of conversations so quickly. And I find that's one of the most social of platforms. But on top of that, because it's so easy to get everywhere, everything's really easy to share. You can tweet, retweet things very easily, fill out your own feed with other people's content if you like it, with just a click of a button, and add your own thoughts on that, which makes it one of the most engaging social platforms out there. Now, because it's really bite-sized, is one of its weaknesses also, because you're kind of limited, well, you are limited to the characters that they put out. As soon as you start moving into threads and such to get a message out, it can lose its impact. So if you've got quite a lot to say on one social media platform, Twitter might be quite a difficult platform to get it done with. It also has a very limited support of video, so you might be linking back to videos rather than having them natively. And on top of that, it requires a ton of attention. They say the best way to utilize Twitter is to have about 10 to 20 tweets a day. Now, you don't have to do that much, but that's what they suggest as being a good place to start. That's a lot. And if you've got a very small marketing team, that could be quite a lot to deal with on a regular basis. Though they're small, it still could be, you might need to calculate each one and it could take time. Also, no real fundraising tools here. And I find that advertising capabilities on Twitter to be quite limited. So if it's something that's one of the things you're looking for, Twitter might not be the place for you. Now, Instagram is my personal favorite in my personal life. I just like it a lot. So because it's linked with Facebook, it's probably one of the reasons that it's got one of the largest amount of users, with 30 million, with a predominantly more female audience. So it's a slight switch from Twitter. But this is a slightly younger audience, with the largest demographic being between 25 to 34 year olds, with 30. So if that matches your audience, this may be a great place to go. Now, the best thing about Instagram is its image-driven platform. It's all about the image, and that makes it quite a visual platform, which I really enjoy. I enjoy the aspect that you get to see before reading, which if you're a charity or an organization that has a lot of photo media, this is an amazing platform for you, because you'll be able to put that out and stand out in a crowd very easily here. And it just makes it, I find it a more enjoyable platform to use a lot of the time. Also, they have stories. They're kind of the best at doing the stories, and the stories have lots of great little things in them that you can use, like polls, questionnaires, quizzes and stuff like that. They're really good fun. I feel like Instagram is the best at doing stories, and a lot of platforms do them, but they're the ones on top of the world for that. And also, this platform's fantastic for storytelling. Using your image to drive a story to the right-hand side of it, you're explaining something. It's really good at hitting home a message and such, because you're effectively, the text will always support the image on Instagram. So it's almost like a social media art gallery in ways. And I think that's so great that you can combine that with your stories and highlights and all things on the platform to really express what your charity is about. It's also like a great platform to sort of say, to let loose and talk about what you're doing in your personal time at your charity. So yeah, it's just a really nice platform. The downside to that is being so image driven is creating good image is hard. Making an image that's going to stand out on Instagram could take time. You might not have those resources yourself at your organization. So if you're really not a very image led organization, Instagram probably is not going to be the best place for you. And even if you are, making sure that those images are really, really good, if that means just lightly editing them through time, it is time consuming. So you might find that it's a bit of a difficult platform to create for regularly. Another thing that's definitely worth mentioning is it's very limited linking capabilities. What I mean by that is if you are, say, fundraising and you want people to go to a specific link to fundraise, you will mostly really only be able to do that from your link in your bio. And if you're constantly telling people from a post to go somewhere else, that's an extra hoop you're asking people to jump through. Now, there are ways to do it for your stories, but mostly the best way to do that is by having a certain amount of followers and you unlock it. But for most people and most organizations, the linking capabilities are going to be very low. So the next three we'll look at, LinkedIn, YouTube, and TikTok. So starting with LinkedIn, the king of the professional platforms, 31.2 million UK users with a slightly more male audience, but dominated by the 25 to 34 year old range, which to be fair, the millennial market would be as it kind of moves in for the recruitment aspect of it. Now, the pros of this platform is that it's very professional. In their adverts, they literally say that, a place with business in mind, and that's totally right. On this platform, if you are a charity organization that has almost a B2B aspect, this is the best place to be, because it's people come to this to action on things. It's not really their personal own time to do stuff. So if you have more actionable content as such, this is a really good place for that. To back that up, it's a very supportive community on LinkedIn. I feel like of all the platforms, apart from maybe say Twitter, it's one of the highest likely that someone's going to comment on it, share your content, join in discussion. I think what makes LinkedIn so great is that you can put out things like difficult questions to answer or just interesting debates, and people will jump on usually and talk to each other about their thoughts and opinions. And I think that's a really great thing about the platform. Now, its weaknesses, back to its strength, is that it might be too professional for you. The platform itself doesn't do well with certain types of media. If it's a bit too silly and loose, sometimes these things don't work so well on LinkedIn. And if that doesn't match with your tone of your audience that you have, this platform might not be for you. On top of that, sometimes the content for this platform could be very demanding. Things that do really well here are facts, figures, blogs, infographics, things that have a lot to chew on really do well in LinkedIn. And if you can't produce that on a regular basis, it could be not really the platform for you. Also, kind of joking here, but they do have American dates. Really winds me up. I always get lost on it. But yeah, that's a story for another day. Now, YouTube, I think people forget about this as being a social platform because a lot of people see it as more just a video website, but it really is its own platform for social. You have your own profile there. You can interact with people through it. So really start thinking of it as a social media platform. With 35.6 million users, has really got a lot of people using it, with a more evenly split than some of the others, and also with a big age demographic being between the ages of 25 to 44. So if that matches what you have in mind for your audience, this is a really good platform to use. Now, as I mentioned, this is the leading video platform. It's like the one. There's nothing that compares to YouTube in terms of just where you're going to put videos. And because of that, if you do have video content, this is definitely the place to be. On top of that, it's really great place to start because I find it's one of the best platforms that are holding your hand through uploading. It even has very basic video editing software, which I find to be very useful if you're just trying to do something quick. And I find that it just is very good at holding your hand and make sure that you know what to do with your profile and such. On top of that, it's got really highly engaged users. People on YouTube are very likely to comment on things, join into discussions, interact with each other on the comment section, as long as you get the following, which I always find very interesting to see. We had a comment on our video the other day, which was absolutely bizarre. I won't even bring it up now, but if you go through our YouTube channel, you might find it. It was really good. Also, if you don't want to use it as a social platform, it's a brilliant place to store all your videos. And just if you want somewhere to link directly to your site, or you want to link people back to, just store all your videos on YouTube and you just have them there in one place that everybody can see them and watch them. Now, the cons of that, making good videos is really hard. If you're a charity or an organization that has that resources, or you're going to have the videos already there, it's still perfect to put it here. But if you're coming straight from the bat and you don't really have them, making a really good video that's going to stand out can be really tough. You might not have the resources. You might need a videographer to make what you want. So if those are the things that you can't really do, this might not be the best place to go. On top of that, it's only videos, which is not really a bad thing, but it's something to think about. You wouldn't want to use only YouTube as your main key platform, because it's kind of it only does one thing, and that's really videos and stories. And this is not really a bad thing, but I think it's worth mentioning because I don't think a lot of people know about this, but the YouTube algorithms are really quite odd sometimes. And it's something to keep into account, that you can make the most SEO-y, amazing, clickbaity video and it does nothing. And then you can make something very strange, very out there, and it just does really well. I know there's even some music groups that I know who've gone famous by random algorithms on YouTube pushing their music forward to everybody. So it's, yeah, if something doesn't work on this platform, it could be because it's just being a little bit odd. Now, lastly, we have to talk about TikTok, as everybody else is. I mean, if you look at the users with 3.6, it's the lowest of the bunch by quite a lot, but it is growing significantly in percentage each year. I think it was the largest growing social media platform in the last year, so you can't ignore it. But we have to look at the difference in here. So, for example, with it being 40% male and 60% female, that's a US number, but from what I see, the UK is very similar. So predominantly one side than the other. But this is the real big thing. 26% of its users are between the age of 18 to 24. So it is a potential predominantly Gen Z platform. So if that's your audience, or you have more into that audience in that age demographic, then this is a really good platform to connect with them. But if it's not, don't always think to jump on the newest thing just purely because it's new. If it fits your audience, then go for it. Now, what makes TikTok so great is I always think of TikTok as being a bit of a love child between YouTube and Instagram. It's like a news feed like Instagram for video content. And all that video content is really fun, interactive, and it's a great way to connect with people and make essentially smaller videos, which are really great with your audience. If that's something your charity can produce, this is a really fantastic platform for that. And as I mentioned, with it being with so many Gen Zs, it's perfect for engaging with those people. Now, the kind of that, obviously, if that's not your audience, I've mentioned this, but then it might not be the platform for you. But as it grows, you will see those demographics, more of them come in as more people come into the platform. Also, once again, making videos can be tough. So if you don't have the resources for that, this might not be the platform for you. And like Instagram, very limited linking capability. So if you are trying to send people somewhere, you might have a tough time doing that on this platform. Right, so looking at all those, the key thing we need to do is understanding our own audiences and knowing exactly which platforms we're going to use to find them. So you want to, as I mentioned earlier, you don't want to just be like, right, I'm going to go on all six, because if you have a very small marketing team, you're going to spread yourself very thinly across them all. You really want to find the best platforms for your organization and focus all your time on them. For example, our key ones are LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. We have presences elsewhere, but we focus our time on those three because we know our audience are there and we have engagement there. So that's one thing. Try and pick three if you haven't started already, or if you have started, maybe narrow it down to three or expand to three. Focus your time there. Assess what works on each one of them and try to get a feel for where you're going to have the biggest impact to finding your audience. But from that, we also need to start thinking about, for each platform you choose, what is the best content for those platforms, and will that platform match with the audience you have? So for example, if your audience loves videos, YouTube and Facebook might be a great place to go. If your audience likes blogs and conversation, Twitter and LinkedIn might be the best places to go. So take all of that in consideration when you're thinking about platforms to use. So don't always just go for whatever's the most popular. Go for what you think your audience is going to be on. Now, we need to talk about content, because your profiles and such will not get anywhere unless you have really, really good content. And the thing I need to start with when I say this is, when you make content for your profiles, you've got to remember that people who follow you have essentially given you permission to add you into their personal space. You need to respect that by making sure that you keep your content varied and fresh. You can't just get followers and then demand that they donate or follow, do stuff for you constantly, because you're going to get them to not be engaged with your content, and you might even lose all your followers. You need to give them a reason to follow your pages. It could be just interesting facts or figures, what you guys are up to, just making things fun or interesting. Just give them a reason to follow you. It can't just be a one-way thing. It's got to be back and forth between the two of you. Now, so when you're making that content, you want to keep it varied and fresh. You need to, first of all, as I mentioned, make sure the content you're going to use fits what your audience wants. But then from there, you need to make sure that you're using a variety of content to keep things fresh. So if your audience likes videos and blogs and short articles, make sure you're giving them a nice steady stream of all three so they keep engaged, and sometimes they'll know exactly what to expect, to the point where they are expecting certain things at certain times, and they'll enjoy your content because they know they're going to get video, say, on Monday, a blog on Wednesday, and an article on Friday. It's keeping it fresh so that everyone is happy with your social media pages. Also, make sure that your chosen platforms, you're maximizing all of the tools that are available to you. So as I mentioned with like Instagram, start using stories, use the polls, use the quizzes, try and use as much as what they offer you to make sure that your pages are as engaging as possible. Also, this is something that you mentioned, I should have mentioned earlier, I think I have, but the tone of each platform is different. So, and I always work this like this way, you need to work out what the tone of your organization is, what the tone your or language your audience will like, and then the tone used for the platform. And you need to match all three of these because certain platforms are dealt with slightly differently. LinkedIn is, as I mentioned, is quite professional. So you try to not use, I try to not use as much silly behavioral stuff or emojis and such. I try to keep it a bit more serious, a bit more fact-driven. While Twitter is a bit more the opposite. It's more fun, make jokes, use emojis and have a little bit more fun with that. So make sure whatever tone of voice you use on each platform matches you, that platform, your audience and your company. And a point I've made here, because lots of people seem to miss this, is definitely get yourself a scheduler. We use Loomly at the moment, which offer a charity discount. I've also used Content Cal. They're really good. And Hootsuite, a Buffer. Just make sure you get one of these because a scheduler will essentially allow you to lay out all of your social posts in one place so that you don't have to switch between them all. Most of them will offer trial periods. If you go for a trial period, you'll be able to take your time with it, find out which one works for you. And if you email them directly, most of them will offer a discount for charities as well. So just find one that works for you and then get started, basically. Right. I could do a whole webinar about finding followers, but the problem with that is the best ways to find followers almost changes every day. There are some tried and true ways of doing it. So I put a few things you can do here for four of the key platforms as like a kind of way to kickstart it. But I would say go do your research about what's working in 2022 because it changes all the time. But let's start with Facebook. One of the best ways to get Facebook followers in the charity sector especially is to join Facebook groups and join discussions with other people who will be your target audience, because Facebook gives you the opportunity to look into different groups where people are having these conversations. If you have something you could add to those discussions with your own Facebook page, then you could join those discussions and hopefully push all those people back to your page. But it should be worth mentioning that Facebook every day becomes more of a pay-to-play platform. So you might find that the best way to get followers is actually to start spending a little bit of money to boost things out there to the right audience, but which is not ideal. And I know that not everybody can do that, but it's something worth mentioning. Now, Twitter and Instagram, using a good hashtag and following them is a great way to engage with people also. You can follow threads into specific subjects that are related to yourself and engage with others. It could be that you just like their comments, like their content, or join in their discussions. And hopefully that will push people back to your page also. This can take time, but, and I would also warn to not do it too much, because I know on Instagram, if you do too much of the liking content, such you can get blacklisted, which essentially means that your content doesn't get shown to people. But that's another story for another day. So use with moderation. LinkedIn's really good at giving you tips and tricks about how to do better on the platform as a whole. One of the key things that they're really good at is pushing you in the direction of discussions around LinkedIn that suit your organization. When they do this, it's a really good idea to follow them through, join in discussions with people about said topics if you have a leg to stand put forward. And then hopefully, once again, that will draw people back to you. And if people then like your content, it will start appearing on their feed, once again, spreading your reach around. Right. So now we've got a better idea of what platforms we're going to use, what kind of content we're going to use. We hopefully have got some followers. One thing you're going to want to do is create social campaigns. Now, social campaigns are like any other campaign you do at your organization. However, you want to focus it on purely what you want to do with your social platforms over a period of time. So you want to create a plan, you need a message, you need goals, you need to work out exactly what you do. It doesn't have to be huge. It could be as simple as just an engagement campaign where you want to do something silly on your Facebook page for the month to make sure that everybody's engaging with your platform. It could be a fundraising campaign, it could be awareness, it can be anything you need to do with your platform. Once you do that, and you've laid out exactly what you want to do, you want to get an idea of all the media you're going to need for it. So it could be images, videos, blogs. And I always recommend trying to get that all done before you start. And it could be a case of you create a template that works for everything, so that it's signposted when you're talking about a specific campaign. People know immediately when they see it, they'll be like, oh, they're talking about this, so they can get engaged with it then. But you can do as you go along. But the best thing to do is have a good understanding of what you're going to need for the campaign. Also, make use of all the tools you have on those platforms to help you achieve your goal. It could be that you start using Facebook fundraising to fund for a fundraising social campaign. It could be that you're trying to interact more with your users so you can start using quizzes on Instagram. It could be that you just start using conversational groupings on Facebook and LinkedIn just to interact with your service users. Whatever you need, make sure you use all the tools you have at your disposal. This is another thing, and this is something I've learned since working at Charity Digital, is that the charity sector is very supportive of one another. So I really recommend, before you start a social campaign, to outreach to all your partners and friends that you have and just basically say, would you mind sharing the initial post of our campaign? The best thing to do here is to create a media pack with a template for what you want them to share, images, text for whatever post they do. Just make it as easy as possible for them. So it's almost a copy and paste job for them so that you get far more reach as everybody shares your content. It's a great way to kick off your social campaigns. And I wanted to end on this point about don't overwhelm your audience. This links back to what I mentioned about that you have been given permission to enter someone's personal space, essentially with their social media accounts. Do not overwhelm your audience. If it's a case of you are running a fundraising campaign, and you are asking your users to donate towards something, if you keep hitting them constantly day in, day out with the same thing over and over again, multiple times throughout the day, you might find that you alienate some of your audience. You might find that they switch off. You might even find that they unfollow your content, and it could have a detrimental effect to your engagement later down the line. So keep things spread out. Make sure your social campaign content is blended in with your other content so that everything feels fresh and you're not demanding too much of your audience. I wanted to put to some a few examples of the things that we've done as examples of this. For example, I've put the logos that we've done here, as this is an example of just a social campaign that I try to do where we keep things a bit fun and fresh on our platforms by just having a hat on something or just making things a bit silly for the time of year. Our examples on the left here is when we have events and we have a clear template that we use for all of our marketing shares so that people clearly signposted to them. And then I put some great examples I've seen around over the last year. Especially the Charities Against Hate, every time I saw this on my newsfeed, I knew exactly what it was. I knew exactly what they wanted. And another one, the Wastminster video, was just so good. And when it went out of my newsfeeds, I enjoyed it so much. Now, I feel like we need to touch on paid advertisement because not everyone will be able to do this, and I understand that, but it's worth noting that a lot of people think they can't use it, think they don't have the budget for it, when actually they can do quite a lot with very little money. So I thought we'd just have a quick overview of it, and then you can sort of go from there to see if it's something that you could do. So the first thing you need to work out is if you have a budget for it. And this can be really small. I've run really good campaigns over my career on things of just like 50 quid over the course of a month, just to sort of push things out there a little bit and get a little bit more traffic towards what I was doing at that time. But if you have got a budget, even if it's really small, you can get quite a lot from it. A lot of these social media advertising platforms will do the best they can to get the most out of whatever your budget is. You might see better results if you have more, but they will still do something for you. Now, like with a social campaign, you really need to lay out a full plan, what you want to achieve, what's your budget, and then work on from there. Now, one thing I also really need to mention here, and this is kind of top level overview, and you can go to more detail on this, but when you set up an ad campaign, you really need to think about what conversion and objectives you have for your campaign. Now, this might sound like, obviously, your charity wants to do this with their campaign. However, when you're putting that into an advertising chat platform like Facebook, for example, the conversion events and objectives will literally change how that advert runs. So if you say you want someone to watch a video to Facebook, Facebook will deliberately show it to people most likely to watch a video. If you say that you want people to drive traffic, it will show it to people who are most likely to drive traffic to your website. It knows people's behaviors and it will change how it shows its ad out to people by the conversions and objectives you set for that campaign. So really think about what you want to achieve and make sure you let the platform you're using know that, because it will drastically change how that platform works. Another thing you shouldn't always do is track the metrics most relevant to your campaign. I think this goes without saying, but sometimes I do see a lot of people talk about impressions and reach a lot of the time when actually their adverts didn't do anything at all. If you're looking for purely awareness, those are great metrics. But when you really want to drive traffic and such, you need to look at things like conversions, if you have tracking on the other side, or clicks, cost per click, so that you can really see the impact of the best way to see the impact of your campaigns without sort of looking at some of the more maybe vanity metrics. Also, the same with all your content on all your social media platforms is you have to have really good content for these ads. So it could be a case of you really need to make a really good video, or a really good carousel, or just to push forward your best tweets and such, something that's going to grab people's attention. Because if it's not, you could end up wasting your money pushing something which isn't really going to grab people's attention. And if you do that, you could end up wasting your money once again. And this is one thing I should have probably mentioned with the whole of social media is get used to trial and error. Nothing just works straight away. You never really see results immediately. It's all about watching things, analyzing the data and working out what's working, what's not, and moving forward and making those tests and changes so that they work in the future. I know that, for example, that Facebook support are really good at talking you through these kind of things. But over the last 4 or 5 years, when I've been using things like Facebook adverts, I've gotten very used to the fact that things don't always work first time and you're going to have to change things along the line. But I hope I hope I've got the point across that you can do a lot with these and you don't have to spend that much. So I really think everyone should dip their toe in the water and see what they can do with it. Now, we just entered into 2022. So things are going to change in the social media world. And there's loads of things that people are predicting to be the newest trend here. I've read through a few of the articles. We even have one on our own page, which is really great. I think we'll probably link that in the resources at the end. But I wanted to talk about 5 key things that I personally am seeing that I think are going to really dominate over the next year. And some of these might be a little bit obvious, but I feel like they're changing in a way that we need to talk about. So the first one I really want to talk about is going live. You've probably seen lots of people go live, but I feel like up until now, it's been more of one of the things that celebrities, influencers, and major companies do. This is something now that everybody's doing. Everybody's going live. And the thing about going live is that on a lot of these platforms, if you do it, you automatically send a notification to all your followers that you're doing this. So it's a great way to quickly engage with users. And it's something that people need to start getting on board with in everything they do. It could be that you start going live once a week. I would, however, recommend if you do this to have a plan of what you're going to do. You don't want to be like some of the celebrities I've seen who say nothing for 5 minutes straight. You want to have something good to go live with, but I know that I'm seeing more and more people do this on a regular basis, even if it's just regular people that I follow on social media profiles. Another key thing here is the dominance of stories now. Every single platform seems to have stories, and I know that they've become a really big thing on YouTube. And if you use YouTube, you should start looking into this too, because stories are becoming one of the best ways to quickly interact with people. And any platform that you're using, really look into the stories, look at what they offer on that platform, because they're becoming the dominant feature on most of these social media platforms. Also, people are liking to start selling on social medias. And now this won't apply to many organizations here, but if you do have things to sell, really start considering adding them to your social media profiles, because it's just another avenue to sell things and it gives someone a place to look at some of the things you sell before maybe going to your website to have a look in further detail. But you know, you want to have that resource there, so it's just you have another way that people could reach you and see all your products if you sell them. This is something that I guess I see happen every year, and it needs mentioning, is that attention spans are getting shorter every year. And what I mean by that is that content essentially needs to be better and snappier every single year. In 2021, I believe it was that 60% of videos uploaded on YouTube were under 2 minutes. That was the largest amount of short videos uploaded of any year up until now. It kind of shows you what really works and what really doesn't. I'm not saying don't use long videos because there's a place for them always, but really think about making sure that all your content is really to the point and really gets what needs to say out as quickly as possible if you're trying to make it snappy. Because I think in the year to come, we're going to see that with everybody's newsfeed getting even more busier, you really need to stand out. And this is really a good one for the sector, is that social is now being used not just for customer service, because I think that's something that's been happening over the last few years, but more and more people have been taking into account. I know that we interact with customers on a regular basis through our Facebook Messenger, and I know that lots of organizations even have Facebook Messenger as their key way to interact with people. But also, it's a perfect place for service delivery in the next year. It's becoming a place that people can directly talk to their users and deliver their services on a much easier, quicker, free way than on other platforms. So it's one of the things that I think you'll see a new trend shift towards over the next year.
Thank you so much for having listened to this recording of one of our most recent webinars with Nick Wyatt. If you wish to watch the Q&A or just the webinar in general, you'll find the recording on our website. Feel free to rate us and subscribe, and we look forward to you tuning in again soon. Thank you.